A service for the fourth Sunday in Lent, March the 15th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children, and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the river into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, in paths they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased, for his righteousness' sake, to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our sermon now, entitled, Look, You Blind, and See. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is this hidden camera show that likes to capture the reactions of bystanders to bizarre events that are staged. A favorite of the show is to have a person pretending to be blind. Another actor comes along and takes advantage of the blind person in some form or manner simply because he can, since the victim is blind. The bystander's reaction is captured on camera, which includes a look of shock and outrage over such an injustice. Believe it or not, there are those who take advantage of the weak and disenfranchised, whatever their condition might be. This has been going on since the beginning of time. And out of all of it, the worst of it, most all would agree, is people taking advantage of someone who is blind. Thank God for our gift of vision. The way that you and I experience the world is through our five senses. The chief among them is our eyesight. It is true that for the blind, the remaining senses sharpen, but still, suffering the loss of one's vision must be terrifying. The Lord God Almighty has deep understanding and sympathy for the blind. With this comes great anger and wrath at those who would oppress the poor, especially those unfortunate to be blind. God does not relate to them. Instead, God relates to the poor, the crippled, the deaf, and most certainly to any who are blind. This comes across in our Old Testament lesson for this fourth Sunday in Lent. People had been doing this despicable thing for some time. God was trying to be patient, thinking that surely they would stop. It was like those hidden camera shows where one pretends to be blind and then is taken advantage of by another actor. The bystander can't believe it at first and thinks that it can't be for real. When it continues, he must react with anger. And so, in our lesson, God admits, for a long time I have held my peace, I have kept still and restrained myself. Surely such behavior could not be for real and continue among his people. However it was, God says, now I will cry out. Like a woman in labor, I will gasp and pant. In the midst of the agony that comes along with giving birth, there indeed may be a lot of crying, gasping, and panting. There may even be a lot of thrashing going on. The husband holding his wife's hand may find it quite sore by the end of the ordeal, nothing over which she would dare complain, by the way. In a similar manner, God could not take the oppression of his poor at the hands of the rich any longer. He was going to act. He states, I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. This would cause the rich to fall back from what they were doing. Earthquakes would level mountains and hills. Drought conditions would dry up the vegetation along with the people's water supply. A famine would settle onto the land. Other tragic things would be allowed as judgment against the people. These might include warfare. With that would follow some type of plague. These things would reveal that the people had stirred God's wrath and anger. Another thing that would cause God to thrash like a woman in labor and gasp and pant in these ways is people worshiping other gods besides him. This is, in fact, what was happening, as God says, they are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, you are our gods. Though the people that we are here referring to lived about 27 centuries prior to our own, this in some way sounds like our own time. Some people are oppressing other people, who find themselves down and out through no fault of their own. Many people are worshipping not only shiny metal images, but all sorts of things besides the Lord. And for a long time now, God has held his peace. He has kept still, and he has restrained himself. But now, I wonder if we do not see him starting to cry out like a woman in labor. Is he not now gasping and panting? Is he not laying waste the mountains, drying up the vegetation, and turning rivers into islands? Do we not see this happening in our world today? Is not the planet warming at an alarming rate? Are not fires destroying the dry vegetation? Are there not viruses being unleashed that cause not only physical illness and death, but also trigger an economic disaster? Are there not wars breaking out? As much as all this is happening, God is calling mankind to repent. He wants us to turn away from sin and towards him. The call goes out, return to the Lord your God. And then follows this promise. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. He wants us back for himself, to hold, love, cherish, protect, and save. That God wants to save mankind from sin is revealed in that he sent to us the Savior. He is Jesus Christ. Jesus is true God who became true man in order to redeem sinful and fallen humanity. We in no way deserve salvation. It is truly his free gift, given by his grace, and received by us through faith. Though salvation from sin is free, this does not mean that it is cheap. I like the way St. Peter puts it, that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross in order to pay for the sins of the whole world, that all who turn from sin and towards him, trusting in his salvation, might be saved. This means humbling ourselves to where we admit that we are indeed blind due to sin. It means admitting that we are by nature hostile to both God and to our fellow men. At the end of today's gospel, we heard Jesus say, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt, but now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." And so therefore we agree with St. Paul when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 4 that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. As those who admit that we are spiritually blind by nature, we are ready to receive God's help. And returning to our Old Testament lesson, we see that God clearly loves to help the blind. He is eager to come to their defense and lead them to where they can see. Back in Isaiah, we hear God say, "I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them." This news is fantastic for us. The passage continues. "Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see." Praise be to God that there is divine help from the Lord in Jesus Christ the Savior for all who admit their need of his healing and insight. His resurrection from the dead assures us that this is so. When the Holy Spirit enlightens us to see Christ, it changes us. We see the world differently. We also see people in a whole new light. We see that the world is passing away. The present war in the Middle East is yet another reminder of this very thing at this time. In addition, we want others to admit their spiritual blindness, that Jesus might restore their sight too. Back in the Gospel, when Jesus restored the sight of the blind man, and he was then questioned about the one who did this for him, there's an interesting progression in how he answers. When asked about the one who restored his sight, he replies to his neighbors, "The man called Jesus did this." Later, when the Pharisees ask the same question, he answers, "He is a prophet." Finally, when Jesus finds him, he asks if he believes in the Son of Man. Jesus then tells them that this is who he is. The man responds, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Friends, God is seeking to get everyone's attention. He wants us to admit our need of him and receive what he has to offer us. He will not always hold his peace, keep still, and restrain himself. He's starting to cry out like a woman in labor. He's laying waste mountains and hills, drying up the vegetation and pools. However, in his deep love and compassion, God desires to lead the blind in ways that they do not know, down paths they have not known. He will guide us. He turns the darkness before us into light and the rough places to level ground. These are the things he lovingly seeks to do for us, that we might find our way forward. Praise be to God that he does not forsake us. And so if you ever happen to be out in public and see someone taking advantage of a blind person, be leery, for it's possible that there may be hidden cameras to record your horrified reaction. I hope that if there are, they do capture you reacting with shock and outrage. God hates it when the blind are taken advantage of. We should come to their aid, as our God in Jesus our Savior comes to our own aid with his amazing grace, which causes us to sing, "I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.